Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of The Focus TV. Got Octavia Wyatt here. I am Wilson Tarpe Jr. And joining us very shortly is Cardell Dudley. You guys see his chair empty this week. Well, you don't see his chair empty. His chair is empty because he's out in the field yet again. But on tonight's show, we got quite a bit to discuss. Got some college basketball, as you guys saw in the highlights. That was a good counsel, taking care of business. Junior guard Bez Bank scored a game-high 20 points to lead them to a 69-57 win over James Hubert Blake High School. And they also knocked off Archbishop Spalding to improve to 8-2 on the year. They had a big-time matchup with St. John's postponed last night, but Good Counsel has definitely been a surprise team of the season thus far. Again, Octavia's back to take care of her own segment. I will not butcher it this week. Also, I got a beef with them, so I don't want to talk about
it. Oh, man, it's not my fault, guys. It's not my fault. I didn't do it.
You brought it to my attention.
So we'll talk about it.
We got some college basketball. We got some rapid fire, as always. And we're going to touch on the go-go just a little bit. But calling in tonight from local matchup, DeMath is taking on Eleanor Roosevelt. We got Cardell Dudley. What's going on, Cardell?
What's going on, man?
Good, man. Sounds like you're in the thick of it. What's happening in tonight's game?
Right now, Roosevelt's down 51-36. They're fighting, but the math is left, and the playmaking of Earl Timberlake is a little bit too much right now, even with our Hunter Dickinson, who's sitting out right now. It's just the versatility in their left on both ends that's just, you know, kind of overwhelming Roosevelt right now. They get second chance points. They're in the passing lanes, causing turnovers. They're rotating, blocking shots. And they're kind of, you know, in Roosevelt's head a little bit. You know, even when Roosevelt has an open shot, they're expecting somebody to come and block the shot, so they're missing easy bunnies. Otherwise, the game would be close right now.
Right. We talk about it all the time, even on the NBA level, just how much length bothers people.
Right.
Do you think it's something where you think Roosevelt could learn from something like this, dealing with this type of length?
Say that again.
Do you think, you know, with dealing with this type of length tonight, do you think this is something Roosevelt can learn from going forward?
Yeah, but they have a big game experience before. I mean, they're the reigning 4A Maryland State champs, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes it is what it is as far as the length. What Roosevelt have to do is just play tougher, you know what I mean? And don't worry about all that. They have opportunities, but they're missing just – they're not capitalizing on the opportunities. They're missing layups, they're missing free throws. It's little things where they corrected that this game would be much closer. And with that still, they're only down 15. That could change quick if they hurry up and adjust and regroup and just treat the Mather as another opponent instead of, you know, the Mather. But right now, you know, Timberlake is not letting them do that. That's why he's one of the top players in the country. You know, Miami commit. He's getting it done defensively. He's playmaking. He's hitting threes. He's out here looking like a mean James Harden right now, and you know, that's a problem to deal with.
All right, and then just lastly, just to take a takeaway from each team tonight.
What do I take away from each team tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I saw DeMath early season with Hunter Dickinson. I already know what they can do. I think this is the opportunity for their young guys to grow and get more seasons, so later on in the season they'll be dangerous. But they're always going to be there. They'll possibly win the WCAC championship and be nationally ranked. Roosevelt, this will be a good test for them to understand how much they got to grow. You know, just being at home playing against PG County competition or whatnot, they're the cream of the crop. But they're not the cream of the crop in their area overall in the country. So it's another level for them to get to, and another level for them to work towards. So by the end of the season, they will be the cream of the crop in the area. You know what I mean? You know, it's a long season, but it's not over. It's still halftime. It's only 2:20 left in the third. So if they correct the little things and the mistakes and just play ball, you know, they can turn this back into a game, a winnable game. But it's up to them.
All right. Hey, Cardell, thank you so much for checking in. I know you would like to be here, but I feel like you also like to be in the gym. So, you know, you have a good night. And everybody, make sure you get over to finestmag.com. Check on updates from this game and others. Does a great job taking care of DMV hoops in this area. You know, we'll see you back in studio at some point, right?
Yes, sir. Some point.
All right, folks. Cardell Dudley checking in with us from DeMath tonight. So, Octavia, we're going to take a look around college basketball just a little bit. GW Men's, they sit at 5-5, so they're sitting at 500. They're being led by senior point guard Armel Potter, who's averaging 14.4 points, 4.3 assists, 3.3 rebounds. And freshman wing Jameson Battles averaging right under 11.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. Senior forward Arnaldo Toro, who Cardell talks about quite a bit, especially on the glass, is averaging 10.5 points and 12 rebounds again. GW hosts 6-4 Harvard Saturday at noon. GW women's, they're 6-4. That's two games above 500 for them. They hold 6-2 James Madison. Keep in mind, this is the same James Madison that had Maryland on the ropes earlier this season. This is that's also a point where Maryland women, they found out a lot about themselves as they rallied to get back into that game. So this is no walk in the park for the Colonials at all. That takes place Friday at 7 p.m. on ESPN+. Plus, redshirt freshman guard Torrey Hajduk, I'm sorry if I messed your name, I do that, averages 13.2 points a game, along with 3.8 rebounds. And forward Alexandre Mond, averaging 9.2 points and 3.4 boards a game. As for the Maryland women, they've had a nice little break. All right, they're 13th in the country after falling to North Carolina State. I'm sorry. They bounced back with a big win over Loyola. Talked about that the last time we were here. Maryland's traveling to take on Georgia State Wednesday at 11 a.m. So tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Huh. Gotta love early games. The crowd should be at least up and ready to go.
Hopefully.
Probably a camp game somehow. It's usually what happens with women's basketball in some state fashion or form. That's going to be happening again tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Panthers GSU Sports Arena in Atlanta. This is Maryland's first matchup with Georgia State. Period. Georgia State's 1-7 on the season. Maryland, as I said, is ranked 13 in the Associated Press Poll, 12 in USA Today. Tidbit about Kyler Charles, the senior wing, has moved to number 10 on Maryland's all-time scoring list with 1,649 points. She is just 30 points behind Christy Winter Scott, who has 1,679 points. Also, a quick shout out of note card. I wanted to make sure that this was extended to the Liberty men's basketball team for being 12-0 after beating Vanderbilt. So shout out to them especially. We're going to take a quick break when we get back. And we got, you know, some, I tell you, we're going to talk about your division.
Are we?
I feel some type of way.
Oh, man. But before it's not my fault. Fault.
Before we come back to Octavia and talk about her little division or whatever.
That's fine. We could be a little division.
And that's where I'm at because of this whole thing. I wish you never told me. I'm just mad at it. It's about the principle, right? Just upset about that. But after we get back from break, enjoy 5 minutes for one of our two roundtable sessions we had this weekend. Get on YouTube to check those out as well. You're watching the Focus TV.
Problem with that is I'm going to go back to the park. When we came up, the guys could play in the park.
Yeah.
So you got to see them. Right. You see what they moved like. Even working out. Like I used to go to Couch's father's workouts all the time. NBA guys come. How's that? So you see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm not on that level. I need to work harder. When you never see it, but you only see it on YouTube, you think you can compete until that man's in front of you.
Man, that's it.
Real talk. Sean, a couple summers ago, brought a young fella up there to for their summer league, the Tenor League up in New York. And he invited me up there, the kid, because he was like, I think he can play, but bring him up and try him. As soon as we stepped on the floor, the coach who played, I forget his name, but he played in the G League, but he was the coach of the team, one of the coaches. He didn't waste no time. He walked up to me and was like, look, and Mr. Couch, Sean Swart, he was like, look, man, you're going to see if this kid can play right now. If he can't, I can go ahead and go home real quick. We ain't gonna waste time. He said, you know, you playing right now, I'm gonna go check ball. So it was like either he responded or he didn't. The kid responded. So he got to get on the team, play throughout the summer. But I like that. And he played so good that it went from, let's see what he got to. I remember Andre Bird that he played for the Rockets and all that. He played, he was feeding the young fella, like, go ahead, go do your thing and stuff like that. And playing against pros, overseas, G League guys and all that, and he fit right in. But I like the fact that it was like, no, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to see if you got it now. If not, we're going to cut your loss so y'all can go home early instead of staying here and just sitting in the gym wasting time and whatnot. That's competitive basketball, and they went at it. And he took some L's a little bit along the way, like savvy stuff like that. Nah, let me get that strip real quick. You don't know.
Get better from that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like you games adjust. With a seven, lose, hey, you got to get off. You got to wait. So that made the games competitive. And that's like old basketball, like how we grew up. And I miss that. It's not like that like that.
At all. Like
yeah, we don't close the gym, man. We don't care where you're from.
And that's the thing around here. It's click stuff. It's like,
man, you got to be associated with that dude and his mama and his cousin.
Sometimes it's like, I know with me, I don't care. So it's like, I'm not territorial, man. I look for my kids. I'm going to provide my kids with the best exposure possible. I don't worry about who's recruiting. I told you that because I know the value of myself. If you leave, you know, it's not going to stop me from continuing to get kids in college. So even when you went with Amir back in the day, Amir's very special to me. And he was like, yo, I'm going to take him up to New York. I see what he's about. I say, Carnell, he's yours. Why he's up there? I don't really care. You know, he needs the exposure. But I wasn't worried about when he got to New York, like, who's going to recruit him? Who's going to steal him? I wanted to see, are you ready for this smoke? That was my mind. Like, get up there. If you can perform on that stage, I don't care what we say. We have some of them. Right now, I'm going to say this in this fact. DMV is, every time you turn on a station, you want to see a kid from the DMV there. We are from the league down. So we're balling in the league. Now, I'm going to say, but it's not like New York. We don't have to go through New York to say, hey, let me see what you got up here. We can't take nothing away from New York basketball. And if you can play in New York, you can play anywhere.
Especially the guard, when our kids woke up and started playing, it was on. Then it was just like, come here, no, you ain't gonna just windmill dunk on it. Then kids start like, come on, see, let's, you go guard me. Like, and I love that. That's how it should be. And it ain't like that no more.
That's why they have Division II basketball.
That DC New York game was one of the best games that we had at the Gym Couch in 8 years. That might have been the best game.
Maybe wrong, good.
And let me, you know, just an experience I have, the respect that I have for Baltimore and you know, DC, Virginia, and Philly. You know, when I grew up, we played in the Rucker League, and we would get on the bus and go to Philly. Get on the bus and we go down to Dunbar. Get on the bus and go to DC. And I remember my coach said, listen, this is Baltimore. He said, we're going down to Baltimore. And I'm hearing that they got like these kids down there that are really good. So, you know, y'all gotta be ready. You know, we were cocky, we were like whatever. It was Reggie, it was Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy Bogues.
I don't know you, but I know y'all got smoke.
Never experienced the ass whipping that we got at any time. We lost by 20. Yeah. And the kids that we had on our team, you know, we had about 3 NBA players on this.
Welcome back to The Focus. Man, we had some fun this weekend during the roundtable. Shout out to each and every panelist from both the AAU one and the Independent Black Media one. Both will be on YouTube. Got a little audio tweaking to do to the Independent Black Media one. So just give us like a day or two for that. But Octavia, I'm so happy you're back. I got to talk about your little divisional move.
I got through
that division in like 6 minutes last week. We had some little talking about, you know, such great pacing you have. But that's what happens when you're invested.
I'm slightly invested.
You're more invested than me. I threw out a disclaimer last week. I was like, I dislike all these teams evenly.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead. I'm turning my mic off.
Okay. So well, I will go ahead and start with the team that was able to do something that my team obviously did not know how to do, and that's beat the Dolphins. So the Giants played the Dolphins this past week. And I'm confused, exactly. So the Giants were victorious, and they beat the Dolphins 36-20. Their next game is going to be against the Redskins. If you don't know, Daniel Jones was out the last two games with a high ankle sprain, and Eli Manning has been the starting quarterback as of those two games. So he was 20 of 28, 283 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Saquon Barkley had 24 carries for 112 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 4 receptions for 31 yards. Sterling Shepard had 9 receptions for 111 yards. Golden Tate had 1 reception for 51 yards and 1 touchdown. And Darius Slayton had 2 receptions, 31 yards, and 1 touchdown. I'd be remiss if I didn't start off by the departure of Janoris Jenkins from the Giants. And I cannot think of who picked him up right now.
Saints, I got you.
You're right, because the Saints need to go ahead and swap Eli Apple out pretty fast. I'm sorry. It's kind of
my man talking into a starting
team? He should be at this point. Because, I mean, I understand the reasoning behind the release, but he was still the best secondary I had. So that is what it is. But at the same time, with the release of Janoris Jenkins, that spirit rookie Sam Beal into the starting spot. And he performed very, very well this past week with a team high tackle of 11, with 8 of them being solo tackles, one of them being for a loss of yard and defended a pass as well. So if that's the rookie, you know, their future looks bright in that situation, which is probably another reason why they weren't so. They were so, it was so easy for them to release Jenkins because they knew they had something like that in Beal as a rookie. But besides that, like I said, there are possibilities of this being Eli Manning's possible last game at MetLife, although they will play the Eagles at MetLife again. But they're, you know, the situation is Daniel Jones going to come back and be the starter again after these past 2 weeks? Because apparently he is on the mend and should be fine. But it was a great team win for the Giants. It was definitely well-deserved, and I know they've been working for a win, some type of positivity out of this season, and I think they finally got it. Another big note, this was Saquon Barkley's first game since week two, topping 100 rushing yards in a game, and if you watched him play last year, you would think that's ridiculous that this is the first time since week two, but that would tell you how rough of a season it's been for them, especially, like, to me, with as many... I will say that they do have offensive weapons, but their offensive weapons are never usually all healthy at the same time. So when that happens, when you know Sterling Shepard is not playing, Evan Ingram has always been out with injuries. Sterling Shepard had a lot of injuries. Golden Tate. So when those big name players are out, it's easy to focus in on Barkley, and that I feel like that's been what's been happening this year. Although I really feel like the rookie Darius Slayton is going to be something special if he continues to progress the way he has been so far. I just really hope that the coaching staff there is able to get him to his highest potential, because I think he's going to be a really good wide receiver as time goes on. So like I said, they played the Redskins this week coming up. I'll go ahead and get into another massacre that happened this weekend. The Cowboys beat the Rams 44-21. Their next game is going to be, of course, versus the Eagles. Dak Prescott was 15 of 23, 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 carries for 12 yards. Tony Pollard, the rookie running back, had 12 carries, 131 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 receptions for 12 yards. Workhorse Ezekiel Elliott had 24 carries, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 receptions, and 43 yards. Tavon Austin had 1 reception, but it was the most wide open reception I think I've seen all season, for 59 yards and 1 touchdown. And old man Jason Witten, 4 receptions, 36 yards, 1 touchdown, one-handed touchdown catch, knocking people out, and getting in and out. But he still did it like old man. It was funny to me, but he did it, you know. I believe they said that he either passed it, I'm not 100% sure, or he's on his way to possibly passing the most receptions for a Cowboy in their franchise, coming up on that. Des Bryant, who currently holds the record, if Witten didn't pass it, I can't remember. But all in all, there's nothing to say about this game, but I guess welcome back to the Cowboys, because all year long, all we have said is they have the potential to be a great team. They have all the pieces on offense and on defense, because with everybody that I just named who had a notable line in the game, I didn't say Amari Cooper. I didn't say Michael Gallup. I didn't say... those two, I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot of players that weren't named that are big name players there. So for them to have that much depth where they don't have to have great games and still be able to whoop up on a team who has been playing well as of late, these last two games when the Rams played against the Cardinals last week and beat up on them, they got it pushed right back on them this week. So the Cowboys had a great game all around. It was really probably what most Cowboy fans have been waiting to see. Because like I said, like, they have it on paper. It just hasn't transcended into an actual game as of late and against good teams. And to sit here and say that the Rams isn't a good team would be a lie, because they are a good team. They just haven't been playing well as of late that much. But you got to play the opponent that's in front of you, and that's what the Cowboys did. And now it shows up for a big week 17 debacle that is coming up.
Debacle?
But yeah, I'm just going to be a complete mess.
Titans fighting for ownership of the NFC East.
With a 7-7 record for both of them.
For ownership of the NFC East to host a first round playoff game.
You are right. That is currently what is at stake. And the other half to that game of next week. So the last game of the NFC East this week, the Redskins played the Eagles. The Eagles beat the Redskins 37-27. Like I said, the Eagles' next game is against the Cowboys. The Redskins' next game is against the Giants. So we'll have two games next week, all inside of the division. And I believe it's for the rest of the season as well. Because then the week following, it'll be the Cowboys and the Redskins and then the Giants and the Eagles again. But Carson Wentz was 30 of 43, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 carries for 9 yards. Miles Sanders, 19 carries, 122 yards, 1 touchdown, 6 receptions for 50 yards and 1 touchdown. Zach Ertz had 5 receptions, 61 yards and 1 touchdown. And Greg Ward Jr., up off the practice squad, 7 receptions, 61 yards and 1 touchdown. On the other side of the ball, Dwayne Haskins was 19 of 28, 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 carries for 26 yards. Adrian Peterson, still breaking ankles, 16 carries, 66 yards, 1 touchdown. 3 receptions for 25 yards. Scary Terry McLaurin had 5 receptions, 130 yards and 1 touchdown. And Steve Sims Jr. had 5 receptions for 45 yards and 1 touchdown. This game was entirely too close to my liking, but I have become accustomed to it just based off of the season. But I think, honestly, it was a really good game for the Redskins. Like, I was literally like, whoa, this is like, you know, when you go into these games, you know, with so much on the line for the Eagles and nothing really on the line for the Redskins, you're expecting for the Eagles to be locked in, ready to go, and dominate. And that was not the case at all. The Redskins definitely gave them a good run for their money. I believe this was probably Dwayne Haskins' best game, in my opinion. He was able to survey the field. He was able to hit the open man. He actually ran a little bit. I think they were kind of showing off for their college coach that happened to be upstairs in the press box with Daniel Snyder and his friends and stuff. But you know, who knows what this means for the next year. But I think they had a really good game. Even Steven Sims Jr., he had a lot of good catches, but I do think that part of the reason they probably lost the game is, you know, he did have a couple of key drops as well. I'm sure he wish he could have got a couple of those back, because then I would have a different tune today. Right. I probably wouldn't be here today. It'd just be Wilson doing this again.
Like Cardell did.
No, because I wouldn't have had anything to say.
Wow.
But on the other side, I am finally happy that it looks like that Carson Wentz has slightly woken up. Mm-hmm. I won't say completely, because it still takes them entirely too long to get to that point. Yeah. Against teams that, like I said, I feel like it's the same way with the Cowboys. The Cowboys on paper are really, really good. Now, I will say that when the season started, on paper, we were good. But that has dissipated at this point, because we have been just riddled with injuries. Lane Johnson did not play. Of course, you know, Alshon Jeffrey is on injury reserve. Nelson Aguilar is out. DeSean Jackson's been out all year. Jordan Howard's out with a shoulder. We got Jay Ajayi. He don't play. I don't know why we got him if we're not going to put him out there. But at the same time, the rookie Miles Sanders, I believe, had his best game to date, running and receiving. The play in the back of the end zone on the scramble drill, it got no better than that. To be able to get yourself open when your quarterback is in a tough situation and to have the presence of mind to scramble, get open, show him your numbers, and get down in bounds, I thought that was a great game for him. He is the first running back in years to top 100 yards in a game. I don't know the last time I've seen an Eagle running back top 100 yards. Because of the running back by committee situation that they have been using the last couple of years. But we didn't have the luxury of that this week with just having Miles Sanders. I will say Boston Scott is kind of growing on me. Because like I said, I just feel like the Eagles are so pigeonholed on finding a Darren Sproles replacement.
Right.
And for a while, it looked like that Wendell Smallwood was that person they were trying to be. They did finally let him go, and I believe he's with the Redskins now. But Boston Scott, he's fast, he's quick, he's shifty, and it's going to keep going. I will say that, like, I liked him from the beginning, but I will be completely honest, I really wanted Josh Jacobs during the draft. I really wanted him, but I was like, Sanders, he's cool, and he's grown on me a lot more. He'll continue to progress and get better as time goes on, and I think he is going to be learning from one of the best running backs that I've seen with my own eyes, because there are great running backs that played before I was old enough to really watch football, but Deuce Staley was top down one of my favorite running backs, and I'm so glad that he's still within the organization and being able to be a running backs coach and being able to be an assistant to the head coach. So all in all, they had a great game. Like I said, the Redskins still had a great game too. I'm hoping they beat up on the Cowboys the week after, you know. But we shall see, because this game this week with the Eagles and the Cowboys actually means a lot to me, just because my birthday is on the 29th. And
next Sunday?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And the Eagles will play the Giants. And I had the thought process to go on up to New York and watch the game for my birthday, you know? But if we lose this game this week, why am I going?
That's fair.
Why am I going? Why am I wasting my money to go to New York for a game that's not going to count? So there's a lot riding on this game for me this week. If we win next Sunday, I will be in New York for the finale of the season. And hopefully I go. If I don't go, guys, then you know how the season went.
The regular season finale.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, let's go postseason. Let's go Eagles.
Yeah, I mean... So also, let's go ahead and get into this too. Wilson is upset at me for something I didn't do.
What we're gonna do is move on to 9450. Jamal Hayward's back this week. He's gonna be demoing a breakdown of a rap dribble. Again, it's a breakdown of a rap dribble. Shout out to Jamal Hayward for taking care of business each and every week.
Every week.
Then we'll head into our break. Coming out of our break, we're gonna give you guys another 5-minute snippet from one of this week's roundtables, and then we'll be right back.
Hey Sean, let me interrupt you for a second. But and this may be off subject, and I'm asking all of y'all: do you guys feel? And this is my thought: people are afraid to lose.
That man, they protecting their image.
You know what I'm saying? People are afraid to lose.
That's what it is.
People, you know, like listen. In my program now, man, I'm taking misfits. I ain't arguing and fighting with nobody no more. And guess what? If the Lakers show up, we plan them. I'm not afraid to lose. And sometimes you can get more out of a loss than a win. And I'm just baffled by this, man.
You know why they're afraid to lose? Because they're getting exposed. They're not developing nobody. They're not building them in the gym. So usually we lost, probably lose this game. We're going to go through that in practice. I know as a player personally, if I had a bad game in college, every shot that I miss, I would take that shot 50 times. These kids don't have that type of mentality anymore. Get better from beating your ass butt.
We had guys at A&T that was on the team that wouldn't even come in the gym for open gym. Because if you couldn't run a double pick or a screen, he couldn't get a shot. And that's what we building up now. That's what we doing.
I mean, we can look at the NBA right now. Young brother killing the league, Luka Doncic. He came to play OKC in preseason about 3 years ago at 16 years old. Got destroyed by Oladipo. Oladipo gave him 30. Russell Westbrook gave him like 20 and 18 minutes. It was a thorough beatdown. Yeah. I'd be dang if he ain't dishing that. He getting him back right now.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
We can't be afraid, and that's why Ardell coaches our New York teams, because he's not afraid, and he's not beholden to any of the coaches in terms of, you know, they all respect him because he puts in a day's work with the kids. Honestly, Ardell will work you out, you know, on a slab of cement with no rims. He don't care, man. He'll find a way to get you ready, one way or another. So, you know, we just need more guys around our kids that are not worried about losing, you know, but more worried about learning.
Yeah. And look here, we got one of the top Under Armour programs in the country right here, and one of the top Nike programs in the country right here. Mm-hmm. I can only remember them playing each other once.
Yeah.
Like what?
And that should happen. That should happen. No, and just put Team Durant with it. They coming up real quick. Mm-hmm. Team Durant, like, they not, they don't, I think they played TakeOver, they did play TakeOver early in the EYBL and they beat him.
Mm-hmm. They, listen, Wayne's my dude, mm-hmm. right? That's Durant's dad. Mm-hmm. They ain't afraid of nobody.
They should be.
And guess what? That little eighth grade team that TakeOver had beat them 75 times, but every chance they got, they went and bumped with them. Because you got to have real men, not cowards, to go and hang out with these kids. And that's what it all boils down to be, man. Again, why are you afraid to lose? Because it affects your bottom line. It affects your kid possibly going somewhere else that you stole from somewhere else any damn way. It's garbage, man.
Like Sean garbage. He said they used to go up 95 looking for bump.
Yeah, sure.
We got bump in our backyard.
Yeah. And they're trying to make it exclusive. Like, yeah. Do that, man. We got to, like, I feel like you should take on all comers.
Absolutely.
If they're not ready to destroy them, get them off the court, they won't even get picked up. Now, a lot of pros come back home. We just want to play with the pros. And I'm like, nah, how do we earn his rep? It might be a dude that never played, but he all got right. game. He wants to see what he stack up against you, and he may serve you.
That goes back to that second topic, that title. That's all generation. I'm in the league, so
Everybody knows the story. We all back. How LeBron blew up? He took out
Money Cook.
I was there. I played with Money Cook.
Hey, look.
Again, Kirk Smith.
Oh, Kenny
Anderson. I'm to him.
Destroyed him.
He smoked his ass. Right? He sure did. I sat right there and watched it. And this kid, from the time he was 10 years old, played with us. He played with us. He was playing in the Sugar Ray Leonard League. I was 37 years old. This kid wasn't even out of high school yet. And he was in there giving us buckets. So I'm telling you, the rite of passage has to be earned. It is not given. And so many of these people, man, they don't want that wreck. They don't want it.
That's why I appreciated Gilbert Arenas so much.
Because he used to come out.
When he was
playing. He's the one that got started. Everybody thought it was Kevin.
Yeah, Gilbert came down the phones by himself. I'm here. I'm in the NBA. Y'all can't do nothing with me. I'm going to show you why I'm in the NBA.
He gave him 63 and his shoes wasn't tied.
Welcome back to The Focus TV. All right, so quick couple notes about the Capital City Go-Go. They said at 7-7 after defeating the Lakeland Magic, 113-100. Admiral Schofield scored a game-high 28 points on 11-15 shooting to lead the way, while B.J. Johnson led the Magic with 25 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists on 9-16 from the floor. The Magic fell to 8-7. Capital City will face the Iowa Wolves Thursday at 8 p.m., also of note, the Washington Wizards, today, they announced the signing of Anzis Pashisnich to a two-way contract. I know I messed up your name.
It sounded about right. You good.
He said it sounded about right. Lord. and a corresponding move, the team also waived guard Chris Chioza. Chioza played in 10 games with the Wizards this season, averaging 2.7 points, 2.8 assists per game. And the second-year pro also started 7 games for the Go-Go, where he averaged 12.1 points, 4 rebounds, and 7.3 assists per game. So we got a couple rapid-fire questions, courtesy of Cardell. Even though he's not here, it's like he never left. So where do you want to start? Here we go. Former Arizona Cardinals pass rusher Terrell Suggs was claimed by the Kansas City Chiefs. Per sources, your thoughts. Per multiple sources, your thoughts.
That's how the game goes. You can't, like, you can make a request. That doesn't mean your request is going to be approved.
So, thing?
Yeah, because, you know, he told everybody that apparently they were going to put him on IR, but he asked to be released instead. Mm-hmm. And he apparently told everybody, don't claim me because the only place I want to go back to was Baltimore. And if you guys claim me, I'm just going to retire. So why would you think they still wouldn't do it? Because I would rather you retire than you go over there to Baltimore, who got enough as it is. So, sorry, but not sorry. I mean, I get it. You wanted to go back. I can't remember why he left in the first place. Did he get traded or did he want to leave?
I thought it was free agency or something. I don't remember.
Something like that, because everybody was saying, oh, yeah, it's a great fit. You know, he played college out there. It's going to work. I don't think he likes it much.
You know, not winning can do that to you. You know, when real quick.
Especially, and I get why, though. It's like, dang, I've been grinding out with the Ravens for so long. And as soon as I leave, they get amazing. And I'm over here feeling all sad. But it's the way the cookie crumbles.
If it was me, and I knew it was about to be Ozzie's last year, I wasn't leaving. He's going to give me something. I wasn't going. Secondly, you could have just stayed even... Worst case scenario, you just retire the place you're going to retire. You need the most work anyway, right?
Yes.
Take your retirement type contract.
But see, that's the thing. I don't think he thought he was in the retirement phase in his career, in his head. Yeah, I think he thought that I still got some left in the tank and we not doing it out here, so.
Or maybe he didn't want to be part of a rotation or something. I don't know what have you, but.
I bet he wished he was a part of a rotation now.
He could have just chilled.
But I mean, at the same time, it's not like you're going to a. You got claimed by a great team.
Yeah, but. So, like, this is the thing for me, right? Going to the Ravens, you could have just played third down here and there, spot duty, rested your old legs, enjoyed your life. Whole lot of young kids out there to do the every down stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just come on when it's time to really eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got to do all that hard work I did for the majority of my career. I deserve this opportunity to, is it third down? Coach, I think I want to, you know,
I'll go now.
Throw the old dog a bone. Now, instead, you're going to Kansas City where, defensively, it's Chris Jones and sometimes you see Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if in this age you want all the responsibility because you're gonna have to go like really work over there. Like in Arizona, you played opposite Chandler Jones. No disrespect to you, Mr. Suggs. Well, nobody tripping off you. Priority number one was Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good luck.
I wish. There you go. Wish him the
best. Wish you the best.
Right? That's all we really got.
You missed the boat.
All right, NBPA. They're meeting with G League players this week to discuss a plan to unionize the NBA's minor league system. The union and players would work towards collective bargaining items such as salaries, broader benefit packages, and travel. Your thoughts?
I think that's a great idea. They're already modeling the G League after the NBA anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, you know, do it the way it should be done. You know, if they want the G League to be an elite league, you know, for people that may not have everything that they necessarily need at that moment to be in the NBA, but you want to groom them for that. And like we have already noticed that a lot of good players that are in the NBA have come from the former D League, now G League, of the league. So I think it's a great idea. They definitely should have something like that in place. I think that all, you know, professional sports teams should have something like that in place for somebody to be an advocate for the players.
All right. I'm with you. There's something where I'm never going to knock anything where athletes want to be treated better, have a better situation for themselves. Obviously, we're seeing what the NBA's done with the G League, and as it's grown, like you said, with the rebranding, I'm sure this wasn't something that was out of the realm of possibilities when they did the rebrand. So this, to me, is kind of like par for the course.
Yeah.
My only caveat here is kind of if we got time to do this for the G League.
What about the WNBA?
Thank you. That's the only place I was going with this is we got time to do this. Like, can we just take some time to work with the WNBAPA or the WNBA period and get something together? Because there's clearly enough money around to... It's not going to be the worst thing to help just throw some money into that as a whole, the same way you did with the G League, because it wasn't always the G League. We remember it used to be such a horrible thing when people said, are you going down to the D League? We'll never see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at some teams, I mean, you know, if the culture is able to transcend that level, you know, it's you're rich. The rich get richer to a degree. Toronto's just made a killing. You know, just kind of grooming their players in the G League. Other teams have as well. We see Miami do it. Golden State at times. So, if you deem that important enough to throw money towards and get behind and make sure that it gets better, I feel like, you know, the NBA, just keep in mind a lot of times when everyone talks about the WNBA problems, like, the NBA is over top of that as well, right? That's one of your subsidiaries or whatever as well. So, it's something underneath your umbrella.
that you need to address.
You need to address. They can't fend for themselves. And the thing is, all the stuff that NBA did in the past to get to where it is at this point, why would you have a league that you help, whatever, you know, a league under your umbrella, watch them go to a similar type of struggle when you have the means to alleviate that to a degree, right?
Yep, exactly.
So that's my only caveat. That's great for G League players. Because obviously, I guess the thing is, there is kind of make it more of a sell versus us going overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we're going to be here.
Right. Because I'm sure they would rather be here.
Right. Make it a destination.
Yeah. I'm sure they would rather be here with their families.
As with that other group that we mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going to go? UNC's Cole Anthony is out 4 to 6 weeks after arthroscopic procedure on his right knee to repair a partially torn meniscus. Should Anthony call it a season, rehab, and prepare for the draft via Nick Bosa, or return to play for the Tar Heels?
I'm going to go ahead and say you might want to go ahead and rehab, have a seat. We saw Kyrie do it, not comparing and, you know, everything. But like you said, we've seen Nick Bosa do it. I've always been behind, like, not quitting on your team and things like that when you can play. But at this point, like, and I hate to say this way, but you kind of got to be a little bit selfish to look out for your best interest going forward. You've given them everything that you could. Mm-hmm. It's not like he hasn't, but and knee injuries is a big thing to me, because I feel like a lot of good players that we've seen over the years have lost a good shot at being around in the league for a very long time because of knee injuries. So I think he should at least consider it. Now his, you know, only he knows his body, only he knows, you know, his love for his team and, you know, and everything like that. But if it was me, I probably would, you know, as opposed, because I feel like, and I hate to bring it back down to money, but it's not just the money that, you know, he's trying to secure his future going mm-hmm. forward. And this is something that could derail that. And this is something that you've been working for your whole life. And I would hate for that to happen. And although the NCAA is getting better with the things that they are trying to do to at least give players compensation for their likeliness and everything, I'm going to have to go ahead. Like, because to me, knee injuries are just so finicky that a small knee injury, but if you keep playing on it, can make it worse. And then we've seen how, you know, a lot of great players, you know, Tracy McGrady, Grant Hill, so many great players have had knee injuries, and it's actually ended their career earlier than it should have. Now we've seen those who have come back from them and have still been able to play well and have a good career, but do you really want to take that chance? So that's just, I am interested to see what he decides to do though.
Now I'm with you. For me, I'm always for the player in this scenario. You're not getting paid at school.
You're going to get an education regardless at this point.
And you know, with your background, you don't exactly need it. So get ready for the next level, heal up, whatnot. We want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Yes.
We're going to be going for just a little bit, but we'll try to be back with some new content here and there. Thanks again for watching the Focus TV. Shout out to Rodney and always. Raymond in the back.
Yep.
Business. None of this stuff happens without what those guys do.
Does not.
Engineering standpoint. Octavia and I just talk.
Yeah, that's
shout out to Cardell. Colby as well. See you guys very, very soon.